Danielle's AG, White, St. Helena, California, December 30th, 1907. Elders Danielle's and W.C. White, my dear fellow workers, make the Lord your advisor. Do not let any man press you into doing anything that would in any way hinder the advancement of the cause of present truth. I pray that, as God's blood-bought heritage, you may be led and taught of Him. There are many who suppose it to be their privilege to control, to some degree, the actions of their fellow workers. They think that other workers, whom the Lord is using, should first obtain their consent before doing a certain work, and that they should work according to their direction. All such yokes are to be broken. The work is to go forward under the Lord's direction. His servants are to work at His dictation. God has not committed to any the task of lording it over His heritage. When the yokes that are now being placed on the necks of some of God's people are broken, the work will go forward in a way that will surprise us. But, on the other hand, unless ministers and physicians and those in responsible offices give the Lord the right of way, to use His followers as He sees fit, He will reprove by judgments. For the past 3 years, a strange work has been going forward under the ruling of men. And because of this, the cause of truth has been belittled and retarded. Not 1/100th part has been done that the Lord designed should be done. Those who have ventured to obstruct the way of the Lord by interposing their human judgment need to be converted. They need to be cleansed and refined and purified, or they will never see the kingdom of God. The work of the Lord must go forward without the prohibitions of men. It is the spirit of self-importance that leads men to lay down rules which limit the work of their fellows. I am bidden to say, break every yoke. Shall we refuse to yield obedience to the source of all power and wait for human permissions before we do the work that God bids us to do? We are laborers together with God. Let men in office walk in all humility of mind. The Lord works with profound wisdom for His children. He never makes a mistake. Let not finite and erring man suppose that he is to be mind and conscience for those who are learning of the One who is perfect in understanding. God has a wise and holy plan for all who walk in humility and faith and trust in Him. His complete and perfect character is to be expressed in the life work of His blood-bought heritage. They are to answer all the Lord's great purpose for the fallen race. Because of sin, the earth and its inhabitants are defiled and degraded. Unto Adam God said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Genesis 3, verse 17. Again it is written, the earth also is defiled under the inhabitants thereof, because they have transgressed the laws, changed the ordinance, broken the everlasting covenant. Therefore hath the curse devoured the earth. Isaiah 24, verse 5, 6. And again, the earth is utterly broken down. The earth is clean dissolved. The earth is moved exceedingly. The earth shall reel to and fro like a drunkard, and shall be removed like a cottage. And the transgression thereof shall be heavy upon it, and it shall fall and not rise again. Verses 19, 20. It is because man cannot be a perfect criterion that he should not climb up to make himself supreme. He cannot safely ask his fellow men to make him their pattern in words and actions. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hands, was written of our first parents. Psalm 8, verse 6. Man was made to have dominion in the earth, but he lost that dominion through sin. That which was lost by the first Adam will be restored by the second, as Paul testifies. What is man, that thou art mindful of him? Or the Son of Man, that thou visitest him? Thou madest him a little lower than the angels, and crownedst him with glory and honor, and didst set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under him, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God should taste death for every man. Hebrews 2, verse 6 to 9. That of which Paul testifies, the Lord Jesus confirms. Behold, I make all things new. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. They shall reign forever and ever. Revelation 21, verse 5, 7, 22, 5. As truly as I live, saith the Lord, all the earth shall be filled with the glory of the Lord. Numbers 14, verse 21. The Apostle Paul counted it his highest privilege that he could have a part in bringing about that blessed state. He writes, Unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be made known in the church the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord. Ephesians 3, verse 8 to 11. There is a great work to be done in the earth before the eternal purpose of God is fully worked out. Instead of blocking the way of any of our workers, we must give them the right of way that God has designed they should have, and let him work through human minds. Every possible effort must now be made to reveal the truth as it is in Jesus. We are to present Christ as a sin-pardoning Savior. While the angels are holding the four winds, we are to make the most of time, using every capability and power in the service of God. We have no time to lose. Soon, the way to souls will be hedged up by obstacles that we do not now think of. Let none of us exercise forbiddings, but let us outline the work wisely and do our best. The Lord will bless those who work in humble dependence upon Him. Through the message given by His servants, Christ is to be revealed to men as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. The call is to be sounded in our churches. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that bringest good tidings, lift up thy voice, lift it up with strength. Say unto the cities of Judah, Behold your God. Let the Lord be your strength and counselor. Behold, the Lord will come with strong hand, and his arm shall rule for him. He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his arms, and carry them in his bosom. Isaiah 40, verse 9 to 11. Voices are to be heard in every city proclaiming the last message of mercy to the world. Now, as never before, we are to call men and women to behold the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. John 1, verse 29. Now we are to give the earnest invitation, If any man thirst, for the water of life, let him come unto me and drink. John 7, verse 37. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come and drink of the water of life freely. Revelation 22, verse 17. Again and again I repeat the warning. Never place as president of a conference that man who supposes that such a position gives him the power to dictate and control the consciences of others. It is natural for man to have a large estimate of self. Old habits wrestle for the supremacy. But the man who occupies a position of trust should not glorify himself. The worker who daily subordinates his will to the will of Christ will be educated away from such an idea. He will practice the virtues of Christ's character in all meekness and lowliness of mind. And this will give to those whom his ministration is supposed to benefit the precious freedom of the liberty of the children of God. They will be free to act out the grace bestowed upon them, that all may understand the precious privileges which the saints possess as members of the body of Christ. The one who is in trust of sacred responsibilities should ever show forth the meekness and wisdom of Christ, for it is thus that he becomes a representative of Christ's character and methods. Never should he usurp authority, or commend or threaten, saying, Unless you do as I say, you will receive no pay from the conference. A man who would speak such words is out of his place as president of a conference. He would make men slaves to his judgment. The Apostle Paul writes, Even that which was made glorious had no glory in this respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 10. God desires that every soul shall walk humbly and meekly before Him, depending upon that glory which is imparted to Him, as He is made partaker of the divine nature. Our trust must be in the exercise of that faith which works by love and purifies the soul. When a man who is placed in a position of responsibility begins to exercise lordly authority in the church, the sooner he is relieved of his responsibility, the better will it be for his own soul and for the church. Safety for the church depends upon its being freed from the influence of his judgment and his plans. Far better would it have been for that church if such an influence had never entered it. Far better will it be for the man to be relieved of an office that leads him to assume such authority. There are many among our workers who need to have a new conversion before they can be qualified to decide important questions in the church. Old hereditary and cultivated tendencies to evil need to be conquered. Habits which were formed when they were in the bonds of selfishness need to be given up. The love of supremacy and desire for the mastery need to be seen in their true light and banished from the life. Christ wants a clean, unselfish character wrought out by each one of His professed servants by studying Christ's life and learning of Him. He would have men of responsibility closely examine themselves. Are they free from all selfishness? If not, they need to be converted from their high opinion of themselves. Let our workers bear in mind that they are given responsibilities that they may be a help to others. They are only a part of a great whole, and their own course of action determines the value of each of a large number whom God has set in the church for this purpose. Is not this the fast that I have chosen? The Lord through Isaiah declares, to loose the bands of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, and to let the oppressed to go free, and that ye break every yoke. Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring the poor that are cast out to thy house? When thou seest the naked, that thou coverest him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh. Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thine health shall spring forth speedily, and thy righteousness shall go before thee, and the glory of the Lord shall be thy reward. Then shalt thou call, and the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall say, Here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee the yoke, the putting forth of the finger, and speaking vanity, and if thou draw out thy soul to the hungry, and satisfy the afflicted soul, then shall thy light rise in obscurity, and thy darkness be as the noonday. And the Lord shall guide thee continually, and satisfy thy soul in drought, and make fat thy bones. And thou shalt be like a watered garden, and like a spring of water, whose waters fail not. And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt raise up the foundations of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths to dwell in. Isaiah 58, verse 6 to 12. I would give the word of the Lord to the churches, to our publishing houses, to our missionary stations, and to all our sanitariums. A great work of reformation is to be done in the hearts of all who engage in this work of restoration. We should now be putting away every self-exalting plan and become learners of Him who will teach us how we may become restorers of the breach, the restorers of paths to dwell in. I am instructed to say to this people who have had such great light and such precious privileges, take up your God-given responsibilities in the Spirit of Christ. Press close to His side and learn how to do the work to which He has appointed you. Put away your love of supremacy and seek for the experience which all must have who would enter in through the gates into the city of God. Those who are willing to be accounted as Christ's little children may safely enter upon the work of our publishing houses and sanitariums. Those who will be partakers with Christ in His self-sacrifice will be partakers with Him in His glory when the Deliverer shall come. When I consider how much Christ has suffered for us, and yet how independent many of us often are regarding His claims, my heart is made sore. Of His life of humiliation in our behalf, the prophet Isaiah writes, He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from Him. He was despised, and we esteemed Him not, disregarded His example. Surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. He was oppressed and afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he smitten. Isaiah 53, verse 3-5, 7-8. Oh, let all the churches awaken to their God-given responsibilities. Then there will be less crooked ways among our men of responsibility. How can the servant of Christ exalt self when he considers the humiliation endured in his behalf? May the Lord quicken us by his grace. Let us all bear in mind that we are ever to be earnest students in the school of Christ. If we will keep in the position of humble learners, our light will shine forth brighter and brighter unto the perfect day. And when our earthly labors are ended, and Christ shall come for his faithful children, we shall then shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of our Father. But before that time shall come, everything that is imperfect in us will have been seen and put away. All envy and jealousy and evil surmising and every selfish plan will have been banished from the life. The words of the prophet Isaiah are repeated to me at this time, as they have seen many times in my experience. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. For, behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about, and see, all they gather themselves together, they come to thee. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Then thou shalt see, and flow together, and thine heart shall fear, and be enlarged. Because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee, the forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. Thy people also shall be all righteous, they shall inherit the land forever, the branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. Isaiah 60, verse 1-5, 21.